I kind of had a choice at that point.
Not just being patient with the process, but being grateful with the process.
And I'm like, man, I went to my dad straight after the game. I'm like, yo, like this shit can't happen anymore, man. I always try to take the good out of any negative situation.
You know, I have players coming in, Xavier, and they'd be like, you know, I played so bad. You know, sometimes I'd be like, hey, bro, hey, I don't know, we can't do nothing about that. I can tell you what we can do, we can get some work in right now.
Like, if you're not doing plyometrics, you're losing out on a lot of potential for performance.
My dad had these tapes of the Laker game. I got to a point where I said, you know, I want to play basketball. And I just always wanted to make sure I had the edge over people.
It became a part of me, you know, I didn't want anybody to get to be better than me.
This episode is brought to you by Whoop. Whoop is the only 24/7 wearable technology that measures the everyday stressors both inside and outside of work and training. Whoop measures the physiological data related to sleep, including the quality, duration, and consistency of sleep, strain, which is the internal load from external stress, and recovery, which is the readiness to perform. Whoop uses these three key metrics to call out areas for improvements and reinforce positive habits. If you're looking to join the team, use my discount code BBALL at checkout or just click the link in my description to get a free 30-day trial with Whoop. Come join the team. Let's level up together. Welcome back to another episode of the Basketball and Barbells podcast. We're actually on day 5 of the 14 days of Christmas. Thank you to everyone who's tuned in to the first 4 episodes. And if you haven't, thank you for tuning in to episode 5, but go ahead and listen to the other ones. Today, we're going to go into a little bit deeper dive of jumper's knee. So it's pretty common for basketball players, as anyone pretty much knows. I actually had a little bit of a Q&A episode on this before, but decided to kind of make this one its own independent episode, talking a little bit more about the role of the patellar tendon, which kind of actually causes a lot more issues for the jumper's knee issue by itself, and then also the treatment and sample exercises that I typically give my players, and some stuff that I can give you guys. But to start off with, to understand jumper's knee, before I can just spoon feed you exercise, you have to understand what's happening. That way you can have a better understanding of how to treat it going forward. So first off, understanding the role of the patellar tendon, which is what is being, inflamed or being caused a lot of pain in a lot of basketball players as they're complaining about knee pain, just overall just stiffness in the knee. So the role of the actual patellar tendon itself, of any tendon, is to transmit energy from muscle to bone, or vice versa. And it's basically like a rubber band. So as we know, tendons, like we said, in other parts of our body, not specifically just the patellar tendon, they're basically helping to not only just pull bone by connecting to the muscle as we contract the actual muscle, but also transmit the energy. So whenever we go into a jump stop, let's say like a rebound jump, as soon as you get the basketball off a rebound and you want to go right back up to score again, right, there's very minimal knee bend, right? And the reason why we're able to actually possibly jump even higher and quicker, there's not a lot of muscle contraction. So maybe we're not necessarily producing a lot of active force, but a lot more passive through our tendons, right? So the strength of our tendons, like I said, it's a rubber band. So the stronger these tendons, the more energy that we get that's free, basically. So we're not necessarily burning as many calories or using energy to contract the muscle. It's just the rubber band effect of these tendons. And it's the same thing with the patellar tendon. The patellar tendon helps to transmit energy from the quadriceps all the way down to the top of the tibia. A lot of people think that when it comes to jumper's knee, it's just the kneecap by itself, but that's not necessarily the case. And a lot of people actually misdiagnose jumper's knee, which I'll get into in a little bit. But understanding that the patellar tendon itself, it is essentially just a way for energy to be transmitted and to help save us some energy in the long run. And the patellar tendon actually changes properties depending on how you load it. We're not necessarily going to get into that today, but just know that it helps to transmit energy. So the reason why a lot of basketball players actually get a lot of issues with the patellar tendon, whether it's patellar tendinopathy, whether it's tendonitis, you know, a couple other things, The reason is because basketball is such an elastic sport. So what that means is, so now we know that, okay, the patella tendon is actually a rubber band. So we know, okay, we go into a basketball game and we're going into rebound jumps, as I just explained. We're going into single leg jumps. We're going into hops, skips, whatever the case is, defensive slides. Now the patella tendon is acting like a rubber band, but it's doing it so much that it begins to cause issues. So a lot of the issues that comes with jumper's knee is just too much load too soon. So it's very different from tendonitis. So tendonitis is the inflammation of a particular area of our body, especially whenever it's, you know, itis at the very end of it. But patellar tendonitis is when it's an inflammation of the patellar tendon. So when it's tendonitis, we typically have to rest. But if it's jumper's knee, it's because the patellar tendon itself, basically we're giving it too much too soon. So you're playing too much basketball, especially if you're an athletic player and you rely heavily on your athleticism. So you're constantly jumping, running, just trying to rely on the athleticism, versus someone who may be more of a spot up shooter, a skilled basketball player. Not to say athletic players are not skilled, but if you're relying almost exclusively on your athleticism, chances are you're doing a lot of the activities that are causing jumper's knee in the first place. So that's why basketball players typically get this more often than not. And it's not just typically just from basketball players, but whenever you think jumper's knee, you think of a basketball player. So especially athletic players, players that dunk, high flyers, they're more likely to develop this kind of issue going forward versus someone who, like I said, is just a spot-up shooter. Maybe they're not jumping as much. Maybe they're not in the paint as much, in the trenches, I guess. Still, can still develop this because of the sport of basketball. It's such an elastic, reactive sport that you're going to be a, you're gonna be at risk for this type of, injury, so to speak. But not to say that we cannot treat it going forward. And the reason why I wanted to explain just the overview of how the patellar tendon actually behaves, why basketball players get it, is because I want you to also understand why doctors and clinicians actually misdiagnose jumper's knee a lot more often than not, and also the implications that it causes. So as I said, if it's tendonitis, we need to rest, which means no basketball, no lifting, no nothing. Right, icing, as you, a lot of people probably have told you if you're listening to this and you have developed it, or people have told me that that's what the doctors tell them. The problem is, if it's actually jumper's knee, we need to load it. We need to load it the right way. So if you've been playing basketball, you develop jumper's knee because you're constantly playing basketball, you're constantly running and jumping, you're loading it, but you're loading it the wrong way. We just got to do it the right way. But if it's tendonitis, then we got to sit down. So if you're misdiagnosed as having tendonitis and you actually have jumper's knee, you're not only are you weakening your patellar tendon, because the function of the patellar tendon, it's supposed to be loaded. It's supposed to get load. So if you're just sitting down, not only are you weakening your patellar tendon, which doesn't help, you're also not addressing the issue, which is loading it the right way. So you rest for 5 weeks, come back. Now you're still dealing with the issue by itself. So you really didn't help anything. You pretty much just kind of wasted 5 weeks of your life and nothing really changed. And the reason is because the symptoms are typically similar to tendonitis, but again, we need to make sure that we're loading the patellar tendon the right way, because that is the function of it. And there are actually studies behind this, which I'll get into later, that show that too much rest the wrong way is actually detrimental to actually getting over patellar tendinopathy. So now that we know a little bit more of a brief overview, and again, there's tons of studies behind this, there's way more information behind that, but to go down a rabbit hole is definitely not going to help with this podcast. So maybe in a later date I can go into that, but today I want to get a little bit more into some of the treatment and sample exercises that I do with some of my players, and seeing just how helpful this stuff can be for some of you guys. So one of the things that I spoke about with the treatment of jumper's knee, it's just a high load and slow velocity. So as I said, basketball is played full speed. I mean, if you're playing one-on-one, typically you have something that you want to gain from that game, whether it's winning the game, you know, you have money on the line, whatever the case is. So typically the intensity is very high and it's a very high velocity sport. So there are high loads because, as you know, as you're playing, you're jumping, you have to pretty much push the ground away to get as high as you can. And when you land, the ground reaction force is like, there's a lot more load in that than people realize, and the velocity is very high. So in order to treat that, we have to kind of tweak that. So we still want to have a high load, but we also want to go with the slower velocity, slower speed. This is because it increases the mechanical strength of our patellar tendon, plus the slower velocity actually gets rid of knee pain. So typically, like people with jumper's knee, it's a lot more painful to play basketball than it is to lift weights, right? That's because when you're lifting weights, you're not really, I mean, unless you're doing dumbbell squat jumps, you're not jumping. You're not really leaving the ground. So way less velocity, higher load, but no pain involved. So we want to develop the strength of the patellar tendon. That way, when we go back onto the court, we can play pain-free at the higher speeds, but we got to slow down first. So that's the goal. That is what we want. That's the treatment that we should be looking for when it comes to patellar tendinopathy, jumper's knee. And then we can progress into higher loads and higher velocities, basically playing basketball again. So isometrics are a great way to do this because you can go high load and it's basically zero velocity, like you're not moving. So isometrics are basically going into a split squat and holding that bottom position. You can do this with different areas of your body, but typically for the lower body, especially for, you know, your knees, we want to put it in a position where we have higher loads. So heavier weight, you can hold a medicine ball, you can hold dumbbells, literally anything. You want to get in a position where we're training about 90 degrees at an angle where our knee is basically that right angle, or about 135 degrees. So that partial squat type of area. Imagine like you're in a defensive stance, right? Those are the positions that we want to get into training isometrics. Typically what I do with my players is before we even step into the weight room and we actually get our lift in, or before they step on the court, I'll go three sets of 45 second isometric holds, whether it's a Spanish squat, whether it is a split squat as isometric, or even just, you know, maybe some eccentrics we'll get into. But as far as isometrics, again, these are great because they're high load and they're zero velocity. So essentially, exactly what we're looking for, plus more, because we're not even, there's no speed involved because you're holding that static position for time. So three sets of 45, there's a bunch of studies behind that that show that is effective in treating any type of pain for the knees, and then obviously developing mechanical strength in the tendon going forward. So eccentrics are great, like I just touched on. Again, this is higher loads, but way lower velocities. So it's not going to be the same as isometrics where you're zero velocity, but still, it's still going to be an opportunity for you to develop a little bit more mechanical strength and to start working through a little bit more range of motion. So eccentrics are the downward phase of whatever muscle contraction we're doing. So if you're doing a bench press, as you're lowering the actual bar to your chest, that's the eccentric phase. If you're in a split squat, as you drop down that bottom position, that is the eccentric phase. So essentially, we're still moving a little bit, but we're not necessarily moving at a high speed. So typically, there's not a lot of knee pain. If there is knee pain, then we can go back to isometrics or even just drop the load a little bit, go to body weight. But one thing I like to do is, again, split squats are great. If that's too much for the knee, depending on if it's one knee or both knees, we can go into goblet squats, or you can even go into heel elevated goblet squats where we elevate the heels. If you do have ankle mobility problems and it's hard for you to get into that bottom position, we can knock that out as well. Anything that, you know, typically a squat where you can slowly lower yourself for about 4 seconds down into that 90 degree angle, getting back up, that's going to help develop, again, the mechanical strength, very low velocity. So that way we're not necessarily getting any knee pain from this movement. And over time, we can start to develop, you know, a little bit higher velocities and get back on the court. But this is also something that I include a ton. I usually typically include this at the end of my sessions because this is a lot more damaging as far as the tissue. So you're going to be sore after you do this, basically. So if you do eccentrics one day, like on a Monday, you're probably going to be sore on Tuesday, maybe a little bit sore on Wednesday. Thursday, hopefully you're good to go. So that's why I like to put it at the very end, because again, it's more muscle tissue damaging, and anything before that is going to probably be a little bit more neuro driven. So maybe more hops, more jumps, whatever the case is, depending on the athlete. But eccentrics are a great way to start developing that knee strength that we need, that we can get back on the court the right way. And then overall, just decreasing the workload. So obviously, as I said, playing basketball is probably not going to be the major concern as we're trying to get over this jumper's knee. That's because, again, playing basketball is what caused this in the first place. So we got to decrease the load of the basketball games that we're playing. All right, whether that's one-on-one, whatever the case is, maybe go into just training on your own, maybe go into some light shooting shoot-arounds. And as we begin to increase our strength, the mechanical strength of our knees, then we can start to increase the load a little bit at a time, but all this needs to be progressive. So you can't do it for one day. You can't do nothing and then all of a sudden jump right back into playing basketball. It doesn't work like that. Everything has to be worked on a spectrum. Everything has to be progressed. So you can decrease the amount of running, hooping, avoid elastic activities. So again, basketball, we know that's an elastic sport, very reactive. Start to cut back on that as we begin to increase strengthening our basically our body back into the position that we need it so we can start playing again. All right, one last tidbit before I wrap this up. So the reason, again, we don't want to rest, it's bad for the function of the patellar tendon. And Keith Barr, who actually done a ton of research for tendon health, knees, whether it's the Achilles tendon or patellar tendon, he showed after 5 weeks of inactivity, the patellar tendon actually begins to get stiff, and tendons by themselves, they get stiff. And again, they change properties. They're supposed to be stiff, but not completely stiff. So basically, he showed that the patellar tendon got stiff, which for the future reference is actually going to be more indicative of injury. So basically, if you rest for 5 weeks, you're actually more likely to get hurt than if you just continue to play. Tendons need to be loaded virtually every day to maintain their structure. So again, it's very important that we don't put a Band-Aid on this. We actually want to attack the problem. And again, I cannot diagnose you as having jumper's knee. A strength and conditioning coach cannot diagnose you for jumper's knee. You have to go to someone. You have to go to a trained professional that can actually do this. But understand, players and individuals by themselves are misdiagnosed daily as having tendonitis when the real issue is just jumper's knee. So we don't want to rest. We still want to be active, but we got to be active and load it the proper way. All right, guys, that's all I got for today. Thank you again for tuning in. If you have not tuned into the other four episodes, go ahead and check those out. I've done vertical jump secrets, shooting secrets, all that good stuff. I also have a ton of episodes on any other topics you can possibly think of. We will continue to do this until Christmas. If you guys have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me on Instagram or however you found this episode. My email is also in the show notes. Other than that, thank you guys for tuning in. Go be great. Thank you for listening to the Basketball and Barbells podcast. I really hope you all got major value from today's episode. Please leave a rating and review of the show, and don't forget to tune into the next episode.